mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of my... Chapter 83. So that's how the High Wind Road works in summer, Aang summed up, finger tracing arrows on the map that led from the middle of the ocean up the west coast of the Earth Kingdom and past Asagitatsu north before they dipped back down into the middle of the eastern continent. If the Fire Lord wants to invade the North Pole on the day of Sozin's Comet and still hit the Earth Kingdom, that's how he's got to go. Katara let Toph lean against her on the deck. The Earthbender might be in a better mood now that she knew Zuko was alive, but she still hated ships, especially wooden ships, that didn't have metal she could scrunch her toes into. And at that, she was doing better than Shiyu. The poor Fire Sage had been about as seasick as a person could get and still be alive. At least the sea cinnamon tea seemed to be helping now. He was actually able to sit on Hakoda's deck and listen, without dashing to the rail every few minutes. Aang drew his finger back down, not far south of the abbey where they'd found Bato and Sokka had beaten a Shushu with perfume. And that's the best place for me to stop him. If I push the wind and the warm water down here, he dragged his finger further south, storms are really easy to get started. It'll have enough strength to hold together when I reach the invasion fleet, and then... His shoulders slumped. It's going to be awful. But if I can hit them with a storm here, mostly they're the only ones who should get hurt. Mostly? Shiyu gave him a concerned frown, winced and rubbed some of Katara's ice over his forehead. I know it's early in the year for storms, but surely those who dwell on the coast are prepared. There's always one cranky old geezer who can't let the fish get away. Sokka grumbled. Trust me, I've been there. He poked the map himself. Yeah, messy. But it sounds like it could be a controlled messy, and I think that's the best we're gonna get. Aang took a deep breath. But what about the drowned? Shiyu sighed. There are some risks that must be taken. If my people are to be brought back to the will of the world... So long as the Face Stealer does not seize them, the drowned will seek their homes in the Fire Nation. The great names will deal with them. Some of them will, Sokka said sourly. The good thing about this plan is that there won't be a lot of people drowning. One of those war balloons falls out of the sky, it's going to be like hitting a mountain. He saw Aang's stricken look and winced. Sorry. I hate this. Aang hugged himself tightly. I really, really hate this. I know, Katara said softly. We all know that, Aang. He kept looking at her, gray eyes almost pleading. She didn't look away, but she didn't bend either. You want me to say I hate it too, Katara thought. But I don't. I can't. I told you I'll never turn my back on people who need me. And everyone the Fire Lord is going to attack needs me. I can't think killing people is wrong just because, Aang. I wish you could understand that. I know it's not really going to help, Sokka sighed. But they're Fire Nation. If they're anything like the people we know, they'd rather get hit by one big hammer smash of wind than get sucked under by the ocean. Aang shook his head. Dying is dying. No, it's not, Shiyu said firmly. Not to the ghost left to pass over. For one of the Fire Nation to die by water is a dreadful shock to the spirit. Storm and wind are not a kind death, but they do not so rend the soul. If the Face Stealer seeks to twist their spirits after such a death, he will have work to do so. The sage folded his hands, cloth-wrapped ice set aside. If it must be done, we will do it cleanly. How can we help? I kind of don't think you can, Aang sighed. I'm going to be bending in the middle of a storm, and if I get close enough to be sure where the storm hits them, I'm going to be bending with people throwing fire at me, in wind and waves and hail and all kinds of mess. He looked up, determined. I can fly in that. Appa can't. We did okay in the last storm, Sokka objected. Almost drowning isn't okay, Aang shot back. And the time before that, the last time Appa and I ended up in a storm that bad, I got frozen for 100 years. I'm not doing that again. I just found you guys. I'm not sleeping for another century while the world goes to pieces because I'm not here. He gulped, fingering his air staff. That iceberg took everyone away from me. Even Bumi. He's all old and responsible, even if he acts crazy. I can't lose everybody again. He stared at the deck, shoulders slumped. I know the Avatar is supposed to be detached and let people go, but I can't. I need you guys to be alive, to be safe. If you come with me on Appa, I'd be worrying about you when I should be worrying about the Fire Lord. And that just won't work. Aang took a deep breath and looked around at them all. You keep telling me I don't have to do this alone. And you're right. I'm not doing this alone. You're going to take care of Appa and Fire Sage Shiyu, and you're going to warn the Northern Water Tribe. So I'm not doing this alone. I rather think I'm old enough to look after myself, Shiyu murmured. Toph smirked, folding her arms. Say that again when you're not kissing the rail every hour. I'd like to see you do as well on one of those accursed war balloons, Shiyu said, just as dry. Being surrounded by one's opposing element is no place for a true master. He pressed ice to his forehead and gave Aang a considering look. It will be a long flight. Kind of more a bunch of long flights, Aang grinned. Katara's got this awesome idea for ice ramps. It was a good idea, and Katara was glad she'd had it. Aang was a master airbender, but even the Avatar had to rest sometimes. Bending up an ice ramp to land on and take off from solved a lot of problems. Only, if those problems hadn't been solved, maybe Aang wouldn't be doing this. Still, you will have long hours alone under the summer sky, Shiyu said thoughtfully. It will be an excellent time to meditate on sunlight. Meditating. Aang's face fell a little, then brightened. Oh yeah, practicing firebending will be great. Out over the ocean, nothing to burn. I can throw sparks and swoosh some fire. Shiyu cleared his throat. A certain firebender informed me that air staffs are well waterproofed, specifically to allow flight in storms. So are sky bison, by virtue of their thick fur. Aang blinked at him. Yeah? Both fur and waterproofed fabric, Shiyu went on, inevitable as lava, are highly flammable. The deck was quiet except for the slap of waves. Meditating. Right. Aang scratched the back of his head and smiled sheepishly. Om. I don't care what Uncle says. This can't be a spirit tale. Draw, part into ready stance, stab, retreat to guard. Meditating doesn't solve my problems. Browsing on some blue briar shoots up the hill, Asahi snorted. Spiral, outward block up, inward block down. Working through the Dao forms, Zuko could picture the sword and spear he'd strike aside, leaving both foes open to attack or retreat. He didn't want to retreat. It's Uncle. We've got enough problems with the whole world trying to kill us. Why do I have to have a problem with Uncle? Slide in, right hilt to the fourth door of the soul, left slash down across the 11th door. Most male opponents, and female ones with sense, protected the groin. Beyond the obvious potential for pain, the likelihood of a quick death from blood loss was enough to sober any soldier. But if you smashed a hilt into someone's throat first, they were a little too busy trying to breathe to worry about that second blade slipping in. Okay, maybe it's not the whole world trying to kill us, Zuko sighed, stepping back into guard. But I promise to protect my people. These people. Here. I sent out warnings. I helped the Avatar get Fire Sage Shiyu, and we helped Teo and his people get prepared to survive if everything goes wrong. Every other resource I have, I need to use to protect right here. I'm the great name of Dragon's Wings, and they're counting on me to do my duty. He puffed out steam. And when it comes to the spirits, it's my duty as a Yaren to handle what the Avatar can't. Aang's busy. Asagi Tatsu's my problem. Why doesn't Uncle understand that? Asahi scratched at the turf and gave him a sidelong look. Why doesn't he understand that? Zuko asked himself more quietly. Because this was hard to think about. He didn't want to be at odds with Uncle Iroh. But he was. This time it only been inviting a bunch of waterbenders in without asking. Only, that's kind of like only dropping the rough rhinos into the middle of Ba Sing Se. Still, that was all that had happened this time. What about next time? With Uncle, there's always a next time. The worst of it was, he didn't understand why. We got out of the Avatar chasing business due to a sudden case of not wanting to be dead, Zuko thought, pacing forward and back in stance, or in Azula's hands. Kind of the same thing at the time. Uncle was for that because he wants the world back in balance more than he wants to be Fire Lord. We hid out in Ba Sing Se to figure out what to do next. More like I was trying to figure out what to do next, and he was just as happy making tea. But I thought he agreed with me when we were planning out this settlement. If we couldn't fix the world by ourselves, then we could at least patch up some of the cracks. That's a solid goal. That's a good goal. Damn it, I'm not even a pie show player. I can't go in for all the tiles when the other guy's got the whole field in his grasp. Pie show. He could see the tiles fall into place on the board, an arcing pattern that unlocked secrets, and for some, victory. The Lotus Gambit, a risky move that requires trying to encompass every quadrant of the field. Uncle was the Grand Master of the White Lotus. He wanted to save the world. I can't. Asahi wickered at him, tearing apart a leafhopper she'd munched up with the vine tips. I can't think about the world. Zuko sheathed his Dao, no sense waving around sharp metal when he'd finally put his finger on the problem. He does, and I can't. This is not good. One step at a time. He'd found the problem. What to do about it would take a lot more thought. Don't teach when you're angry, Zuko muttered to himself, and reached out to scratch black feathers. That both Tingcha and Uncle agreed on, and he wasn't angry now. Tired and a little frustrated, but not angry. Now I can teach, Zuko grinned, and reminded himself to stop smirking before he went too far. For some reason, Jinhai got suspicious when his teacher was too happy. Can't imagine why. It's not like we have a shortage of leaves to practice with. Bending the storm was like riding Omashu's mail chutes, Aang thought. Exciting, terrifying, with an awesome guilty rush of, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Part of the scariness was how the winds over the ocean seemed to know what he had in mind. They knotted together faster than he would have imagined, wind and water and stored heat from the sun churning into high koala wool fluffy clouds, thickening further into gray, then near black, lit inside with spiderweb scrawls of sky lightning. The wind carrying him almost stilled, shuddered, and blew more fiercely, twisting him east and west in the sky. Time to go. He banked west and north, blanking his mind into meditation to ignore some of the strain in his arms. Even if Ozai knew enough about the winds to move fast, It'd still take the fleet and the storm some time to cross paths. Time to be in the silence and the wind and the now. The problem with General Iroh. Shirong leaned back against a boulder, helping Amaya and Tinkcha keep watch over their respective kin. Is that he loves playing pie show with other people's money. Is he breathing right? Amaya worried, watching Zuko guide Jinhai through punching a small fireball. He'd tell me if he weren't. He's learned enough about healing to know not to be stupid, and if I remind him he has to be able to fight, he'll behave and let me check him. I hope. That is my husband you're talking about, young man, she reminded him. He's never gambled without a very good reason, even for money. I'm sure he does have reasons, the Dai Li said dryly. I've watched him work. Your husband is a good man. He cleared his throat. But I think the general has a few bad habits. Prince Iroh is a good man, Tinkcha said firmly. However, for the most of his life, he has been General Iroh, and generals have different responsibilities than princes or kings or even a young great name. Amaya gave him a deliberate look. Tinkcha Wen had learned to weigh his words under the Dai Li's watchful eyes, and even now he had the distracted air of a man too lost in dusty tomes to consider any possibility of offense given from what was just a theoretical scenario, certainly. Part of her wanted to shake him until his glasses fell off. They were friends, not just patient and healer. This was her husband and nephew about to be caught at odds with each other. Then again, this was her family on a slow boil. Safe enough at the moment, but a pair of master firebenders could explode as violently as a Sagitatsu if things went wrong. Add in her own temper to the mix, and the fact that Zuko was also a waterbender, meaning any family fight might spread outside their own walls if they weren't careful. Perhaps the distracted professor was the one she wanted to hear after all. How are they different? Amaya asked. They're all responsible for their people. Ah, yes and no. Not exactly. Tinkcha raised a thoughtful, lecturing hand. You're familiar with chieftains and the Earth King, with the City Guard and Suzeran, and, I hadn't considered that before. A captain like G is master after Agni on his ship, which is a bit more like your chieftains. Shirong coughed deliberately. Ah, yes, where was I? Tinkcha polished his glasses on his sleeve, then set them back on his nose, with a chuckle. Well, there are many kinds of generals. Foolish ones, such as General Gong. Blind ones, such as the late and rather less than lamented Fong. By what reports I did manage to lay hands on from outside the wall, General Iroh was quite different from those gentlemen. He was a good man, a good soldier, loved and followed by all his men with willing loyalty. But he was, nonetheless, a general. And all generals have one thing in common, with very rare exceptions. When they decide to take an objective, they don't pay the price. Take an objective, Amaya repeated. The phrase chilled her, with its echoes of war and death and blood. She'd seen enough grief in this war already. The thought that more was coming made her want to howl her grief to the moon. Why did the Fire Lord have to come here? Because we are here, she told herself, sad and proud. Because we defy him, and Ozai's plan will not allow that defiance to exist in this world. Well, they'd just have to see who'd planned better, wouldn't they? Indeed, Tinkcha nodded. For while the duty of a lord is to govern his people well, the duty of a general is to carry out his king's command. He must not waste lives. A good general, I'm told, hoards his men like jade while he spills his enemy's blood like water. but it is his duty not to save lives. It is to spend them as he must, to achieve his grand strategy and send his enemy down to final defeat. Amaya shifted her weight from foot to foot, watching for any betraying hesitation in Zuko's breath. Amok seemed to be a well-trained healer, but she hadn't been there to haul her nephew out of the water and see all of the sea was properly bent out of his lungs. She couldn't help but worry. You believe Iroh's grand strategy is to defeat Ozai, not just ward him off? She grimaced. He may have a point, even if it means weakening Zuko's authority. If Avatar Aang can't face the Fire Lord and kill him, and for all his power the Avatar is a child, someone has to do it. Shirong reached up absently, as if to tug down a missing hat. I wish his goal were that modest, healer. Sparks flew and Amaya drew a sharp breath. She rolled her shoulders and made herself relax again. Jinhai had managed to bend it all the way back into the training circle, even if the last half dozen had wobbled in just over the edge. Zuko crouched down to look at exactly where they'd landed, sketching out with hands and words where Jinhai's form had faltered. I'm just a backwater northern tribe healer, true, Amaya said dryly. What greater goal is there than defeating the Fire Lord? Restoring the balance of the world itself. Amaya's gaze flickered to him, startled. Surely he had to be joking. But Shirong's answering stare was as starkly serious as she'd ever seen it. And Tingcha added a reluctant nod of agreement. But we can't, Amaya protested, stunned. We're just one small tribe. There aren't enough of us to fix the world, even if we tried. And that would be assuming the rest of the world would ever listen to a bunch of sunstruck lunatics who've abandoned all propriety to live with other nations. If I didn't know better, I'd assume we'd all fallen prey to midnight sun madness. She spread her hands, tracing the shape of the caldera. Keeping Asagitatsu calm and the drowned contained takes all the time we can spare from surviving. We might manage a short battle with the Fire Lord, but if any of us were lost, none of us might survive. There was the problem. Not one she'd expected in a husband so wise to the ways of war. But he doesn't think he can lose, Amaya concluded, looking aside. Are you sure it's that innocent? Shirong's gaze slid aside to study the shadows with her. I saw Long Feng work. Iroh's not Long Feng. Amaya gave him a level look. He'll always be a charming rogue, more than a bit sly, but he doesn't pull strings from the shadows. She sighed. He just doesn't see it's time to stop pulling. Speaking as a father, I can attest it is a bit difficult to be certain when to let your children decide to stand in the path of an avalanche. Tingcha folded his hands in his sleeves, watching Jinhai gnaw his lip as Zuko explained again what his route was and why not to break it unless he had to. The prince has been in a great deal of danger for a very long time. It can't be easy to stand back and let him juggle all our fractious people, airbenders, the drowned, and a volcano. On top of that, Tingcha cleared his throat, Zuko has a temper. Firebender, Shirong chuckled. Dragon child, take your pick. Oh, I do know, the professor said dryly. Mean has more than enough of his own, even when he's solidly rooted in earth. But that temper can make it a bit difficult to distinguish no, I don't want to, and you can't make me, from no, I've thought this through, and I will not allow this to happen. Chiron groaned and thumped his head against the rock. If Iroh wants to bring the world back into balance, he has to work with the Avatar. And Zuko is shunning him. Tingcha nodded. obviously a hasty, reckless decision by a young man who deliberately tells the spirits to get lost at every opportunity. Amaya winced. Young men didn't usually have the authority to banish someone from the tribe, but Zuko was of age to do it, if there were no other warriors present. He is Yauren, she noted. I thought it was his duty to tell some spirits to get lost. It is, even more than a Dailese, Shirong grumbled. And what part of lethal airbending strike did Iroh miss? Ah, but to you, Zuko is a recruit. Your charge, even now. Your responsibility to rescue from spirits he hasn't a prayer of fighting on his own. Not an heir of Sozin whose duty is to shoulder the ire of the entire world. Tinkcha gave him a look in askance. Given your encounter with the Xiao Xiao Jing, you know how badly a new recruit can fumble in a desperate situation. But, he raised a finger for a moment more, when Shirong would have protested, you also know how fast you moved past that error and learned caution, and you've seen your own recruits gain the skill and experience to be trusted in the field, even with your own safety. True? Some do, Shirong nodded. I think Mean will get there. Eventually. Yet you would trust Zuko at your back against the most dire spirit that took it to its mind to strike out at the living. Tinkcha shifted his gaze to Amaya. Just as you would trust him with lives in his hands, because he is a trained healer, and a trained Yauren. As much as anyone can be trained for that, when no living Yauren has walked this world in 1,000 years. The professor wove his fingers together, and studied the backs of his knuckles as if they held the secrets of the ages. But Zuko is not a trained general. Which made no sense. He was on that ship with Iroh for 3 years, Amaya objected. And evidently that was not nearly long enough. Tinkcha glanced back up at her. After all, a properly trained general would seize the opportunity to obtain all his objectives in one fell swoop. Risk it all to win it all. Amaya felt faint, and knuckled a pressure point behind her ear to steady herself. We can't. More to the point, the Lord of Dragon's Wings can't, Tinkcha agreed. He is bound by loyalty, by family, and by oath to look to us first. He sighed. If General Iroh cannot accept that, whatever plan the Avatar has to defeat Ozai's invasion, I pray he succeeds, for all our sakes. I wonder if Avatar Yangchen ever fought like this. Rain running cold over his arrows, Aang puffed out his cheeks to blow a wind that would carry him up and over the nearest war balloon, and hoped she hadn't. Because that would mean Yangchen had been fighting alone, with no one to fly with her, and he really hoped she hadn't had to fight alone. It was awful. You saw Katara do this. It works. Aang scooped the water off himself with one hand, trusting the wind to hold him against his glider. A flick of his wrist and water slashed through red fabric like a storm of razors. Hot air gushed out as he grabbed the glider again. Smoky and a little smelly, like a platypus bear that had too much cabbage. The metal ribwork groaned, airbag crumpling as the hull dropped like a stone toward the deadly waves below. So far to fall, don't think about it. No time to think. Monk Gyatso had taught him a lot about gliding, but nothing about how to keep an even keel with a spiral of water winding down his arm and eep! A fireball whooshed past. Missing green paper by inches, yanking the water back to settle as a cold blob along his shoulders, Aang spun up an airball and sent it whirling in that direction with a push of a hand. More fireballs went sailing awry, whirled away from their target. Some buffeted upward to impact as ashy spots on red fabric. None of them caught. The rain slanting out of the wind was too heavy for that. But the charred spots rippled ominously. Hey, it's fire. Yeah. But waterbending is getting your enemy's force turned against him. I can do that. This was going to be tricky. Making that many air balls while he was trying to hang onto his glider? Who said I needed to hang on? Grinning, Aang flipped over and spun air between his hands, staff pressed hard against his shoulders. The wings weren't really designed to fly upside down, but I only need a minute. It was kind of like air juggling or snaring a dozen butterflies. He didn't need big winds. He had plenty of those already. He just needed little whirls of contrary wind. Well, that and some fireballs. Here they come. Aang spun back upright, tossing the air balls with his glider wings like Haru and his dad had tossed bits of coal. The swarm of fireballs whirled like dust in a gale, spiraling up and away to hiss out in falling rain or burn dark spots of weakness in wet red cloth. Yeah, I can do this. And it felt awful to be so glad about that. But he'd seen the invasion of the North. He'd known what they were going to do to the Northern Water Tribe, and he still wasn't going to let that happen. It's still wrong. It's just wrong to hurt people, and it's worse than wrong to want to. He really, really hoped there weren't any ships on the ocean under the storm. Except there would be. At least Ozai's supply ships. And maybe fishermen like that old geezer he'd rescued with Sokka. I'm not running away. Not this time. Aang pulled the glider up and caught an updraft, heading for thinner air. Slicing open the war balloons worked. That was all he was going to think about. Maybe I don't have to take them all down. Zhao's fleet ran after his ship got slashed. Maybe if I can just find Ozai's war balloon. Only, which one is his? Well, the one with the fancy gilded bits kind of looked like a good bet. Okay, one set of water razors coming up. There was something dark moving under the war balloon. For a moment, all Aang could think was maybe he'd gotten really lucky that some of the quivery weirdness he'd felt in the storm had pulled together into spirits after the invasion fleet. Nobody was supposed to be up in the air but sky bisons and birds, and maybe he could just fly off and let a flurry of the hail-slick sickle weasels Master Gyatso had told shivery stories about do what they did best. Dark hair and red robes sliced with rain, and pale gold that stabbed through thin air. Why did he come out of the cabin? Water blades seemed to shiver out of Aang's grasp, slanting away in the hail and wind and rain. He had to bend them back. Lightning boomed and he flinched, banking up and away from where he'd meant to fly, which, okay, not good. He was aiming away from Ozai's war balloon and sailing up behind another. He'd have to turn and fight the wind to go back, and he knew he had to. He knew it, but he didn't want to. I know those eyes, but Zuko's got a scar, but Sozin had those eyes too, and he just left Roku there. He let his best friend die on purpose. I have to remember that. I have to. Decide where you want to stand, Aang, and stand. Aang swallowed, queasy in a way, twirling through the air never made him feel. I have to stop the Fire Lord. But I can't do this. He had to find another way. He didn't have to kill anybody, after all. He just had to stop the war balloons from getting to the North Pole. Maybe if he iced the tops, made them heavy enough they had to go down out of the wind road. The back of his neck prickled. Like Azula. But he can't see me. I'm behind one of his ships. Light and darkness and roaring. Smoke in his nose, burning wood, crumpling to ash in his hands. Red fabric seared to black in an instant. Red-hot steel screeching as it came apart, dropping the fragments of a war balloon like metal hail. He hit his own ship to get me? Everything convulsed, muscles twisting until he thought his neck would break. The sky flipped upside down. Water was flying towards him. It's not black. water borrowed colors from the sky above it. The sea should be a dark mass of hungry waves, scrawled on by white lightning. And it was, but deep, deep down were translucent shapes of misty gray, streaming glimmers of blue light like strangling kelp. He knew those shapes, only they shouldn't have been faded. They should have been hard lines of steel and iron, touched with black and flying streamers of red. The largest had a diagonal gash, right to left, as if a massive blade had slashed the command area off in one careless blow. A blade or a waterbender? Wasn't that Zhao's? He couldn't think. Lightning. Why is it always lightning? He twitched a finger, and the sea swallowed him.